Here we go on a Saturday night here in Las Vegas. It is Heat Wave Sports, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Tim Unglesby, Mateo, and my co-host, as always, TomBartonSports.com, Mr. Tom Barton. Tommy, we're going to do a shoot it from the hip Saturday here. We're going to go around the world of sports, but I'm going to let you choose the topic to begin tonight's show.
Hey, Tim, how are you doing out there, man? I'm telling you, it's one of those weekends, right, in the middle of everything, where you have the end of the Olympics, preseason football not really up and swing, you know, nothing really jumping out at you. Major League Baseball's getting good, but again, we're kind of in the dog days of summer when it comes to that, and you start to look around the sports landscape. And you go, okay, in 2 weeks we have college football. We know that, right? It's coming up really fast. And we're going to get into a serious playoff football in about, playoff baseball in about 3 weeks. It's going to be the push for the playoffs. Opening day for the NFL is less than 30 days away. It's all sitting there going, it's coming. But this week, yeah, like you said, it's one of those almost drag type of weeks. Luckily, we did have some Olympic action. So I'm going to go out there and I want to start. Look, I want to get into baseball tonight, okay? But I want to start in the NFL. I want to start in the NFL because I know that everyone's starting to get their fantasy kind of drafts getting going. The invites are sent out there. People are starting to look at futures plays a lot closer than they have. And we have a situation in Los Angeles, and I want to ask you about this, with Justin Herbert. I know Justin Herbert went down, but reports came out just this week that there's a chance he could miss almost all of training camp. Now, from a fantasy perspective, I'd like your opinion, but also from a Chargers perspective. You know, Chargers are a team that we have always sort of given them their flowers in the preseason, and then when it comes time to pick, we go, yeah, but they're the Chargers. I mean, every year, it seems like the Chargers sort of just revert back to being the Chargers, right? And they're just sort of are that team. Harbaugh's on board. I like the pick of Joe Alt. I like the new style. I like some of the holdovers, specifically defensively, that they have there. But Justin Herbert is an interesting guy. Justin Herbert's a guy that you look at and you go, he has been compared to Dan Marino. He has all the accolades coming from scouts saying, man, he can make every throw. He can do all these great things. But we haven't quite seen it with Justin Herbert. I know you're a fan, Tim. So from a fantasy perspective, how far does this injury with Herbert hurt? And overall, I mean, just overall on the season, if you're a Charger fan, I mean, is this something that they can get over in that division?
Well, let me start with the last comment you made regarding the Chargers, and you're right. The Chargers will be the Chargers until they're not the Chargers, right, Tom? And we know what that means. That means not having all the talent in the world and somehow finishing 500 or game over and missing the playoffs. It just seems like that happens every year. Or playoff spot wrapped up and then lose 5 of 6 to end the season and miss the playoffs. Can Harbaugh change the culture? I think he can. But he's got to do it before we can say, hey, the Chargers aren't, quote unquote, the Chargers anymore. As far as Herbert goes, what's the official injury designation, Tom? Did they say?
Yeah, when he first went down, they said, you know, he'll miss 3 to 4 weeks. Okay. And now it's, I'm being told, I'm listening to people say, well, you know what, we might not see him until the last weekend before camp, and who cares, because it's Justin Herbert. Well, it's a new offense, right? It's a new situation. I don't think he's in danger of missing week one, but how much confidence do you have of missing the entire training camp?
Right. Definitely something to keep an eye on. For me, look, I like the guy. I liked him in college. I have high hopes for him still, Tom. I like to blame part of the reason he hasn't exploded out into the top tier of quarterbacks is that, we just said it, it's the Chargers, right? And the consistent turnover of offensive coordinators they've had the last 5 years, or even the head coach, if you want to go that far, the two or three that they've had since he's been there. I want to be able to blame some of that on them. But at the same time, I think with Harbaugh coming in there, Tommy, and we already know he got extended, Herbert's got an extended contract beginning of last year. So for now, he's penciled in San Diego for a while. And yes, I know I said San Diego. But it's time for him to step up now, Tommy. If he wants to remain in that middle ilk of quarterbacks, then that's where he's going to be, unless he steps out of that and takes the next progressive step into what we call the top five or six guys that you have to seriously consider can win you a Super Bowl every year. And right now, Tom, not that he hasn't shown a glimpse of that, but right now, Tom, he's not one of those guys. And when you think of Justin Herbert, the first thought in your mind is not, hey, he's going to win a Super Bowl. You don't think that way when you think of him.
Yeah, it's funny with Herbert, you know, you look at the stats and you can't be upset, but you also go, as bad as you said, the offensive coordinators, as poor as the head coaches have been, he did have Mike Williams. He did have Keenan Allen in his prime. You know, he did have Austin Eckler in his prime. So 4,336 yards his rookie year with 31 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. That's really good. Not MVP worthy, but man, that is good. The next year, 5,000 yards passing, 38 touchdowns, 15 picks. MVP level worthy. We're looking at Justin Herbert and saying, here we go. The next year, 4,700 yards, 25 and 10. Very upsetting about the touchdown to touchdown interception ratio. 13 touchdowns down, but okay, still a solid year. And then you go, what happened last year? 3,000 yards, 20 touchdowns, 7 picks. You know, he reminds me a lot of Trevor Lawrence. And Trevor Lawrence came out 3,600, 12, and 17. We know it was a bad coach. And then 4,100, 25, and 8 seems very similar to Justin Herbert's 4,700, 25, and 10. 4,000, 21, 14 last year. These two guys are 24 and 26 years old. Neither of them of them look like they are Super Bowl-type quarterbacks. Both of them have college careers, which are fantastic. Both of them have shown they can make every throw. They can elevate their team. And they both got large extensions. And I'm looking at both of these guys. And you know I'm a Lawrence guy. And you're a Herbert guy. And I'm looking at both of them. And I'm going, I don't trust them to be able to miss a month of training camp and hit the ground running when you're going up against Mahomes. I wouldn't trust Lawrence to go up against C.J. Stroud after missing a month. I think this hurts the Chargers a lot more than people are talking about.
Very similar paths so far, right, Tom? When you talk about guys that were, and they still could be can't miss. It's so early. They're still so young. I know Herbert lost Williams all of last year. Allen was banged up a few games. Eckler banged up a few games. Just chaos in L.A. But like I said, you can't use that as an excuse your entire career. At some point, you have to step out of that. But the stats that you produce, for him, it's almost stat compiling, but what's the payoff? And that's what we need to see as a payoff. And I think, in my mind at least, Tom, I think Jim Harbaugh brings a payoff somewhere. And whether that's just making the playoffs and winning a game or two, it's going to get you further than what Justin Herbert's been able to do in his pro career. And when you mentioned Trevor Lawrence, Tommy, both these guys were extended by their teams for 5-7 years. So obviously they're that's where the teams want them there. But at what point do you say, was this extension worth it if we're not going to get further in the playoffs than we've gotten?
I mean, when you mention age and injuries, guys, I don't think that they're that far off of Joe Burrow, who had two pop years, a down year last year, a down year in his rookie year, can't stay healthy. You know, these guys are sort of in that realm. And why? Because they're all gunning for Patrick Mahomes. So that leads me to the injury that happened today. Hollywood Brown went down. Andy Reid said he thinks it's probably a similar injury to what happened to Tyreek Hill. That kept Tyreek Hill out 5 or 6 weeks. That would lead into Hollywood Brown missing probably the first 2 weeks of the season or so. They're not sure if he's going to miss that much time. But look, a new receiver in that offense, Tim, with Kansas City, where there's a lot of moving parts there. Man, I don't know. I'm a little concerned here for the Chiefs, as much concern as I could show for the Chiefs at this point.
I think it hurts for sure. He was kind of like Tommy. He was kind of my under the radar guy that nobody was really talking about. You know, when you even in fantasy, you're looking at fantasy guys. He's not a first or second round guy like he was. You thought he was in Baltimore. You know, coming off a Super Bowl where last year, everybody claimed the weakness was the receivers in Kansas City. You draft Worthy, first rounder out of Texas. The guy burns when he runs, right? Burns. You had to like that. And then you mix it up, right? I don't know what Rice's future looks like with his pending legal issues, Tom, but he came on and stepped up in the second half of the season last year as a rookie. I think Sky Moore will be better than last year. I think you have Justin Watson will be better than last year. And you have Hardman still there. You still have Tony still. You know, they have deep core. But I think Brown was going to be your go-to guy. And his speed and Worthy speed, they were going to be a deadly combination. And now we'll have to wait to see that.
Tim, let's keep talking about quarterbacks because there hasn't been major injuries, but there's been some concerns here. I don't know if you watch Hard Knocks, but Caleb Williams hasn't looked great. Look, it's really early in camp. I don't take much out of preseason. The surrounding cast that he has around him just says that he's going to be just fine. Jordan Love in the same division, same type of guy where, you know, they invested. We've watched what he could be, and then you go, ooh, he hasn't had a good camp either. Now, Jordan Love has the track record, of course. You know, you're not worried about that. Caleb Williams looked good, in his 4 of 7 for about 100 yards at night. He's had an up and down camp, we'll say. Jordan Love, 65-yard touchdown to Wicks. Outside of that, he's had an up and down camp. Are these guys the franchise quarterbacks that we believe that maybe they could be?
Well, the book's out on Williams. We'll have to see how his season goes. Just like the book was out on Justin Fields.
Do you think he's going to be that guy? Maybe not Super Bowl worthy. What's Williams' ceiling, in your opinion, and where do you think Williams falls?
Falls as far as...
Where does he wind up? What does he want? You know, if I talk about Trevor Lawrence, I thought coming out, this guy was a multiple-time MVP. I thought he was going to bring Jacksonville a Super Bowl. He was the most impressive quarterback that I have watched since Andrew Luck. I sung his praises.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams... Look, I'm a Bears fan. I hope I'm wrong. But I see a very solid quarterback, a quarterback that probably doesn't get to the Super Bowl, a quarterback probably doesn't win an MVP.
I would tend to agree with that. I think Caleb Williams' career is going to be based on, Tom, the length of it, number one. But what's surrounding him, you brought it up right out the gate, is the offensive weapons around him this year. You would think that maybe that takes a little bit of an edge off the rookie. You know, you have veteran running backs, and the receiving core is... How do you not like Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and your rookie Adunyas? You know, how do you not like those guys to give him some type of a pillow in case he does hit a rookie wall? But I'm with you. I was never sold on the guy in college, even though he put up video game stats. I'm worried about his personality and his mental capacity of how to handle not only losing, Tom, but handle criticism. And it's going to be tough in Chicago if it doesn't. If they get off to a rough start, and he suffers. He's gonna really hear it there. And I want to see how he can adjust to that. So for me, I'll lean with your opinion of him. Jordan Love. I've never been a Jordan Love guy either, Tom. And, you know, we talked on the show about the contract that they gave him. It just blew my mind because I don't see that ever paying off to what that team is giving him. So for both those guys, afterthoughts for me, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Jordan Love or if Caleb Williams ever plays in a Super Bowl. Now, I do think that Jared Goff has an opportunity to. The constantly underrated Jared Goff, I think he's got a chance to play in the Super Bowl. I think he's got a chance to play in the Super Bowl, like, right now. this year. I really do. I thought that highly of Detroit, but they've already had some injuries. suddenly, you know, you always get real excited about that player, you know, and I mean that team, and then that player goes down. And is it a huge loss, you know, losing a Hendon Hooker? No, you know, he got a concussion. He'll be fine. James Houston came up a little bit, you know, a little bit lame. You got a couple of other guys in that locker room that could be key contributors. Not looking great as far as injuries go. They lost a cornerback, which could be massive. I mean, look, you're talking about a team in the Detroit Lions, which is in unfamiliar territory, right? We are in unfamiliar territory. I don't know if I would be talking about their starting cornerback going down as a big loss for other Detroit Lions teams, because you're saying, hey, maybe the Lions could be 500. But this is a team where we're talking about them almost in the light of the elite teams, the San Franciscos, the Kansas Cities, where you're talking about the elite of the elite. Your goal this year is Super Bowl. And if you lose your number one corner, well, that's a problem. You know, that's an issue. If you lose somebody like that, you know, ouch, already in camp, that's kind of a problem right now. I think Detroit will be fine, but that's a big loss that people aren't talking about. They won't have to worry about, hey, can we win the division without him? But if they want to move on, they want to beat a San Francisco, they want to beat a Philly in the playoffs, they want to go on and take on a Kansas City in the Super Bowl, you need to be nearly completely healthy. That's something that we've watched out of these Super Bowl teams, or teams that get to the Super Bowl, and it's not the case in Detroit right now.
I've seen hundreds of preseason predictions for the upcoming season, Tom, and a lot of them have Detroit going to the Super Bowl and winning it, which I don't have them there. And I know we like to see what we saw last was Detroit basically a collapse in the second half that allowed San Francisco to go to the Super Bowl, and maybe fans, a lot of fans assume that you can just pick up where you left off, Tommy, right? And you're already saying there's injury, you know, but there's bumps and bruises, but you lose a starting cornerback. Yeah, that is big in camp. And I'm looking for a regression, and maybe not to the point where I'm not saying, Tom, they're not making the playoffs. I'm not saying they're not going to play in the NFC title game. I'm just saying maybe the expectations of what the Lions are going to be, you should take a little step back and see that in their own division, other than the Vikings, which is a complete question mark right now, did Green Bay improve from last year? Maybe. I know the Bears did. What about San Francisco? Are they improved from last year? May not be improved, but they're still damn good. Still got a lot of talent there. The Eagles, chip on their shoulder, that feels like. As much as we talked about Dallas last week being a complete mystery once it gets into the late in the season in the playoffs, you still have to contend with that offense. It's not so easy to say that the Lions are that team. And I'll pose a question back to you regarding Detroit. If Detroit played in the AFC, Tom, they would be struggling to make the playoffs.
Oh, the Detroit hate. And I look, you often zig where people zag, and you should. It's been smart for years. I just look at the NFC as so weak. You're right, though. They'd be struggling. I mean, is Detroit marketably better than Buffalo or Miami, who I think might, or Cincinnati, who I think might be battling for a playoff spot this year? No. I mean, they're sitting there kind of in the same situation. Let me throw out a couple of more injuries at you. Rondell Moore goes down for the Falcons, season-ending injury. I don't think that's too much to get into. The Buccaneers lose another player to a season-ending injury. Look, it's just defensive line depth at this point. And I say just, I don't mean it like that, but it's defensive line depth. Nothing to really get crazy about. But Rob Haverstein for the Rams, the offensive tackle, he's week to week. There's a chance that he could go out there and miss opening day. Left guard Jonah Jackson, he is expected to be week to week. And Puka Nacua is week to week. We're talking about a weak NFC. The Rams were a team that I jumped on. And I looked at the Rams and I said, healthy Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp back completely healthy, Puka, Kyron Williams. You know, you have a good coaching staff there. I like the two kids they grabbed from Florida State. I know Aaron Donald retired. I like the two kids they got from Florida State to play defense. And I'm going, maybe the Rams are a wild card team. But here we go. Haverstein, Jonah Jackson, Puka Nacua. Are the Rams able to sustain these injuries?
Yeah, tough to tell, right? We'll have to see. You know, the second half of them last year, just to make the playoffs, amazing run, and it got everybody back on the genius train, Tom. We'll see what happens. You know, again, Puka Nacua, sophomore year. Let's see what happens. So this isn't a good start to that for him, but a lot of people that I've talked to, Tom, had this guy high on their fantasy list. I did not, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. You know, the thing about the NFC, like we just said, Tom, is there a luxury in that you can recover from a slow start based on injuries or just poor play? Can you know, that's the thing about that conference, is that you could see an LA team like the Rams last year win six of their last seven to make the playoffs. It can happen. So I guess we'll just have to see how it goes with the Rams here as the season starts and progresses.
Not that they were a playoff team, but if you guys are listening for fantasy, everybody was loving Jonathan Brooks, who could take over the Carolina backfield. Whew. Now he's out with an ACL. They're saying he could be back by week 3 or 4 of the season. So he's going to miss the first 2 weeks, probably the first 3 weeks of the season. And oh, by the way, he's recovering from an ACL tear from last November when he played with TCU. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. I think he's a guy that I'm hoping for the best. Prove me wrong. But man, this is just ugly.
So they're going to go back to Miles Sanders and Chuba Hubbard, Tom? Is that the game plan now?
That is the game plan.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. The starting running back just was lost.
Right. And Bryce struggled last year mightily, you know. So for a team that's trying to turn a corner, it's not a good situation there in Carolina. And I guess that's why they're bad. I don't really know what to say. When I look at injuries, Tommy, I always knock on wood that I don't have to hear about my team, which so far we haven't. How many years have we heard about the Ravens losing a starting running back in training camp? So I hate preseason. I hate it.
How about Tennessee? They want to bring in Brian Callahan. They're going to go all air raid offense under Will Levis. Here we go again. Familiar injury news. Knee injury for DeAndre Hopkins. He's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. I don't think Tennessee can recover. And when you're talking about wide receivers, Josh Downs is out. He left the practice field with a high ankle sprain. He could be out for weeks as well. Again, I think the Colts in Tennessee have paper-thin margins. They could be good, but I think everything has to fall right. And you lose DeAndre Hopkins, probably your starting wide receiver, number one receiver, maybe number two. Josh Downs is your number two receiver in Indy. I think these are big blows for both of them.
If they're going air raid, which is what we've basically been told, and you have guys like Burks, Tyler Boyd's there, I believe, Ridley, right? Ridley still, you know, could it work, Tom? Maybe. But Hopkins is an X factor still. But the guy gets injured a lot. So you're already band-aiding something, hoping it's going to work out for him. Not to mention you lose your stud running back. You know, I know everybody likes Spears, and I know Pollard's there as well. Tennessee, they're intriguing to me, Tom, more so than the Colts. When I look at the Colts, obviously the number one thing is the return and of how Anthony Richardson is going to look coming off that injury. You have to think Taylor. There's a positive comeback there, but you're right in the receiving situation. Pittman is the guy. We know that. But Downs was supposed to be the solid number two there. After that, it's really roulette, Tommy, on who's going to take that next step. I couldn't even tell you who I'm looking at. Maybe Pierce. I'm not sure, though, who's the guy going to be there. And now you lose your number two, so automatically you push everybody up. I think there's more problems in Indianapolis than in Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm concerned about both. They're not a team. Again, I read Kansas City news and I go, as long as everybody's healthy for the playoffs. I read something where Indy is chasing Houston. You got Jacksonville behind them. You got to be concerned with. Same thing with Tennessee. That leaves us to, I guess, the big injury news of the offseason, for especially for fantasy guys out there, people that are betting season-long prop plays, and really just overall the NFL, because we know there is a small history there. Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
McCaffrey goes down. Me and you were sending texts back and forth about, do you still pick him number one in a fantasy league? What do we think about McCaffrey? I think that there are very few indispensable players in the NFL. I think Christian McCaffrey is an indispensable play. I don't think you could fill his void. I don't think you reach your goals or anywhere near them if you're San Francisco and you lose McCaffrey. I think they're going to be ultra, ultra careful with him. He's not someone, he's got the same offensive coordinator, the same offense, the same players, the same coach. Everything's the same, same quarterback. There's no reason for him to push it in preseason. I'm not overly concerned, but there is some concern there for me.
More I research it, I'm with you. Maybe it's an overcautious injury, right, Tom? And they're holding him back just because it's not necessary for him to be out there and just let it heal, whatever it is, a nagging injury. And even, Tom, if it extended, let's just say it extended into the regular season for some reason, you always say, well, let's look at the schedules. And when you look at the Niners' schedule, that first six games, it's not, I don't think it's a tough schedule at all, other than maybe opening week. But there's a patch of games in there, Tom, that without McCaffrey, can they win them? I think they can, if it gets to that.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, like I just said, when I look at the Kansas City Chiefs and I see an injury, other than season ending, I go, it doesn't matter. They'll get by and they'll make the playoffs. And you think he's going to be ready for the playoffs. And it's the same thing with San Francisco. Those are the only two teams, literally the only two teams in the NFL I look at and I go, Christian McCaffrey could miss 10 weeks. He could tell me they're missing 12 weeks. And I'm going, yeah, they could still make the playoffs. And then McCaffrey comes back. That's how I feel about those two organizations. Those two franchises have shown us that they could get past just about anything.
Yeah, I agree. So, Tom, we're talking NFL. I want to give everybody the updated schedule coming up for the month. We're off next weekend. It's the big guy's birthday weekend, so we're going to take the weekend off and celebrate. Well, at least I am. We'll be back the 24th, which is a Sunday, and we're going to do the NFL preview show. Stay tuned for that. That's always a big one. Off again for the holiday, 30-31, right, Tommy? And we come back to you week one, Saturday night, September 6th, Tom. You know what's going to happen here, right? I'm making the big announcement here. Mateo, I hope you have this queued up for us. Can you hit the button, please? There you go, Tom. Everybody was asking, are we doing a live show for week one of the NFL? Of course, I messed up the date with the live read. That's me, though. September 7th, Saturday night, week one, Tommy. We're going to do it again from the Las Vegas Strip.
That's going to be awesome. That is going to be awesome. And remember, what's funny about that show is, Tim, we're not going to have one game in the tank. We're going to have two games already in the tank.
Yeah.
So it's not only going to be a preview show, which it will be. We're going to have to talk about what happens on Thursday and Friday night, because we get a double dose of NFL action before we get on.
Right. Ravens, Chiefs, Thursday night, and then the overseas game, right, Tom? It's the Packers and who am I missing here?
Philly.
Packers and Philly from Europe. Why, right? Why?
Yeah, there's no reason to ever go to Europe at this point.
No. I mean. So that's the schedule, Tommy. That's the schedule. We're locked in. We're packed. It's here. It's basically here, man.
Tim, am I bringing some jerseys to give away?
You always got to give away at least one, right?
Yeah, you got to give away some jerseys.
Yeah. It's going to be, honestly, I know I've had at least three different people direct message me, hey, you guys doing something, want to come out, say hi. Last year we had a great turnout from the Strip, even though it was upstairs. We were up in a huge room overlooking the strip, glass windows, and we had a great crowd. This place, Tommy, Boulevard Barbecue Wings, it's right on the strip, attached to the mall there. It's outdoors. I mean, literally, people are going to be walking by. Whether that's good or bad, we'll find out.
Last time we were there, Tim, I got to tell you, that was some of the best food. I was raving about the food. But my type of food that I like sounds like this year is going to be a little bit better. just the type of food that I generally gravitate towards.
You're talking about the barbecue and the wings and
yeah. They have, you know, they got that question James Lipton used to ask, you know, everybody, what's your favorite smell? And, you know, I generally go to, you know, the beach. I'm a beach guy. You know, I like that smell. Ballpark is a pretty fun smell. But can you do anything better than a barbecue? I mean, is there a better smell than just smelling that barbecue and go, no. You could just start your taste buds going at that moment.
Right. No, I agree. I'll be driving down the street and I'll see literally people, they're sitting outside, and it's just, you get it. It's the aura. It's the way it works.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one. Good. And I'll tell you what, I have a feeling, Tim, and I say this and I probably will bite my tongue, but I have a feeling me and you are probably going to have different Super Bowls this year. Now, I have gotten a Super Bowl right? We've been on the air for 14 years. I have had one of the Super Bowl participants 12 or 14 years now.
Yeah, yeah. And some free winners every opening week, free winners.
Yeah, I was talking about what I've done opening week last week, where I've just absolutely crushed underdogs, and more underdogs. And this year, I'm already looking at 6 or 7 underdogs. I'm loving it. I love the underdogs. Give me the dogs. They've been barking loud for the last 2 years for me.
So Saturday night, September 7th from the Strip, we're going to plug it. Every show we're on, we're going to plug it during the week for our promos. So hopefully we get a nice crowd out there and like I said, Tom, it's always the Super Bowl show. When we do it, is always a big deal. But I kind of want to say that week one, it's right there, Tommy. It's right there with either equal to or maybe a neck ahead of the Super Bowl show.
Well, I think here's why. I think that when the Super Bowl comes about, everybody enjoys the Super Bowl. Everyone's going to bet on the Super Bowl, but the options are limited, right? So there's only two teams. Chances are most of our listeners' teams are not there. Most of our listeners are now becoming a fan of whoever they're betting on or becoming a fan of, you know, whoever they adopted during the year because they were fun or they were on their fantasy team. But they're not real fans. Opening weekend, everybody has a chance. And I know it sounds cliche, but they do. Even if you don't think you're going to win the Super Bowl, I'm a Bears fan. I don't particularly believe that the Bears are going to win the Super Bowl this year. But there's a different excitement for my team. I'm excited for this year. We get a quarterback. Their offense is rejuvenated. Take the worst team in the league, Tim, and you have something to look forward to. You have a young player or something. There's always something to look forward to. So opening weekend just brings out a different kind of aura.
Heatwave Sports, Fox Sports Radio, Las Vegas. Time for our first break here on a Saturday night. Tom, I'll let you pick the topic on the way back, so stay tuned for that. As we roll into a big, big sports Sunday, a lot of baseball coming up in the show as well. It's Heatwave Sports. It's Fox Sports Radio.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Heatwave Sports. Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com here, and Tim Unglesby HW Sports over on the X, at Tom Barton Sports over on the X over on Twitter. I'm starting to transfer over after all these years. I'm starting to call it the X, but I still call it a tweet. I don't think that we could sit down and call it an X. So I still call it a tweet. Tim, I got one of those X's or one of those tweets while we were on break. And it's a really good question. I can spend some time on it. I'm going to let you answer it. What is the phrasing that you need to hear in the preseason that gets you to believe a beat reporter? And I get where the guy's going. It's not that beat reporters are liars, okay? Let's not go down that path. But you always hear, best shape of their life. The guy was amazing. This is he's determined. He feels better than he ever has. And I generally do. I dismiss all of that conversation. I don't care about any of it. The coaches are raving. The coaches are terrible. Maybe, oh, he's listed fourth on the depth chart. Okay. What is the phrasing that gets you to kind of perk up, Tim, that you start to believe whatever the headline is?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know. I don't have an answer off the top of my head, Tom, because I've always been ingrained in my brain when they say something like, oh, so-and-so's in the best shape of their life, or so-and-so's done a completely different workout scheme this offseason, or we're coming in healthy as a team. And it is just, it's like karma. It's like the karma is listening and then gives you the curse right after. So I'm not sure, Tom, what makes me feel satisfied in that. Maybe if I hear them just say, we got out of this camp relatively injury-free, everything looks like we're going in the right direction. Maybe not so much of embellishing, Tom, what we want to hear. At the same time, you don't want negative Nancy. So if they're just a standard, run of the mill, we're looking okay. We're on track. I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a specific phrase. I think each player has to have a different phrase. You know, for a young quarterback, I love to hear, I love to hear that the coach talk highly of him, of course, but I like to hear that the players, are responding. I love to hear when a player talks about how he's becoming a leader or he's listening, because players don't generally say that just for no reason. So especially with rookies, I like that. Guys that are coming back from an injury, I love to hear that it slows down for them. Oh, the game has slowed down for me. Because as an athlete, when things start to slow down, that's when you start to kind of get in your rhythm. So I don't think that there is that key phrase that gets me all excited, but there are a couple of phrases that I go, okay, I'm going to pay attention to that a little bit more than something else. I'll tell you, again, I don't want to be negative Nancy, but I'll go that way. There are actually more phrases that scare me than make me feel good. There are more phrases that will get me nervous about something. He's still very young. Oh, I hate that one. Okay, that means he stinks. Or you hear a lot of times with running backs, and we see this in fantasy, and you go, oh, he's going to be the next big thing. And you hear the coach say, well, he's got to work on his pass protection. Oh, that's the death knell. That's it, right? In pass protection, you won't start. You could be the fastest guy alive, but you're not going to start if you don't have your pass protection down. So guys like that, I think there are more negative things that I could hear than positive, Tim.
I like that direction better. Each individual athlete and how they take, or what they say, right? Right, Tom, you mentioned the negatives. How many times do we have to hear when Mike Trout says his knee is tender, it's generally not going to be a good thing. Right, you're already looking for, how long is he going to be out? But you mentioned speed of the game, and as obviously as you know, and everybody listening, that my son's going to college next week to play baseball, and he went to a summer league this year, Tom, a collegiate summer league. So he was playing. He's 17 still. He was playing with. There was a guy that was 25. There was a lot of 23, 22s, 21s, obviously, juniors and seniors in college, and. When he got there, he played almost a month in this league. He just got home last night, actually. So when he got there, first at bat, he got a base hit in his first at bat, but he went in a little bit of a slump. I think he went one for his next nine. And then slowly he started picking it back up, right, Tommy? One for three, one for four, two for four, one for three. And of course, as we've seen just last week, I sent you the videos. He was crushing the ball, including he hit his first home run in that league. And I asked him, I said, he's a positive kid. He doesn't get down on himself. And he's like, I just have to adjust. And I said, well, it looks like you're adjusting. He goes, He said, "You know what, Dad? The speed of everything just changed for me, and I the ball looked a lot slower than it was." So it's funny that you brought that up, because that's a real thing. When you adjust to something, talent takes over at that point, Tom.
Yeah, it really does. And your son is just on another level. He really is. Tommy played for the minor league team. My 10-year-old son played for the minor league team. No. He went to a minor league camp this week. And it's funny because I coached him his entire life. And I coached him two seasons his entire life. And this is the first time somebody else really coached him. And they did a week-long minor league camp. He went there all day long. And then culminated with him playing on the field at the end of the week. And just the throws and everything, it just looks so much crisper. And I said, "Whoa, are you, what happened here, you know?" And he said to me, he said, "I don't know. It just clicked." You know, and I feel like that's a 10-year-old saying that the game slowed down, right? Things just sort of clicked. He just hit that extra gear. That happens with pro athletes and anybody that's ever played the game. Like you said, it just slows down. Things seem easy. It's almost like the Matrix, right? Where you go into the Matrix and you could see things now and you go, okay. I got this figured out. So that, I like to hear that from coaches.
Tommy, the swimmer though, Tom, and I know we're going to talk some Olympics here, but that's the direction for Tom Barton Jr. or Tom Barton III, right, Tommy?
Yeah, he's the third. Yes, it is. It very much is. He's actually going to be, as I told you, they bumped him up. So he's two levels about where he's supposed to go. We just, my mom just paid for his equipment, because he's going to start swimming in the ocean now for like a secondary situation. But he's going to go play in your backyard, Tim. He's taking the travel team, and they're going to be going to Maryland this year.
The travel swim team.
Travel swim team at 10 years old. And it's not for his school. We don't have, in New York, you don't have swimming in each school. Yeah. So you actually have to try out for the multitude of schools to make it. And they asked him. And it's funny because, they said, "Well, he's got baseball. We'll work around his schedule." But it's 5 days a week at 10 years old. It's starting to get intense, man. I'm telling you.
Is he at the age where you start showing him Michael Phelps videos, Tom? Is that?
This is the first year we started to watch some of the Olympics. And he was naming things that, unfortunately, I can't coach him in it because I never did it, So I learn as much as I can. But he was naming things that I didn't know and showing me techniques that I wasn't aware of. And then we started to get into the Michael Phelps conversation. And you could see that he's amazed because he sees what we don't even see. You know what I mean? The intangibles that we don't pick up at home, and we still think he was amazing. And just, you could see it through his eyes, and you could see how even more impressive Phelps was.
Yeah, I think that if you're looking for somebody to strive to be, that ain't a bad mentor. I guess a personal mentor would be Michael Phelps Olympic videos, right, Tom?
Yeah, absolutely. And I told my son, I said, "Look, you're 10 now." I said, "But you're going to appreciate being a lifeguard at like 15, 16. I said, I think you'll get the secondary benefits of the girls liking you as a lifeguard at 15 and 16 years old.
Tell me about these Olympics, man. I stopped watching it once the beach volleyball was done.
I read an article today that said Steph Curry is one of the top five greatest Olympians of all time, and I almost threw up in my mouth.
Jeez.
Great performance.
Yeah. If you call an 11-point win in the gold medal game over a team that – would they have one NBA player on it? Was that gold medal performance today for the U.S. basketball?
Is Jason Tatum still sitting on the bench too?
He actually played 11 minutes today.
Oh. Was... But it's okay, because Chris Wynn and everybody else is still going to sing the praises of Steve Kerr. I mean, he's been exposed. He's been exposed. I mean, come on. I saw a meme the other day, and I'm not often quoting memes on the air, but I'm going to quote, and it was Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, and Magic Johnson laughing in their Team USA gear, and they're like, a great comeback. What's a comeback? you know, because you're like, oh, is this what we're hanging our hats on now? But speaking of the Olympics, though, Tim, did you hear they want to put baseball in the Olympics? They're making a push for it. Aaron Judge is making a push for it. He said he wants to play. Bobby Witt said he's already signed up. Man, he would love to go play. Ohtani has come out and said they want baseball in the Olympics. I got to tell you, the Olympics might be dragging for me and you. That will rejuvenate us. Forget about this world baseball garbage, right? How about the Olympics, Tim? Are you on board for baseball in the Olympics?
Yeah, I would be. And I know people are thinking, oh, how are you going to say you'd be in for baseball but not basketball? It's different. It's completely different because
America would humiliate everyone.
Yeah, there you go, right? On the reels, though, for that meme that you talked about with the original Dream Team guys in it, that's the truth. They were never down, Tom, in that entire Olympia. I don't even want to go back to the trials that they had to get in. They didn't lose. They were never down in those games. So to call this the greatest Olympic comeback ever, I just laughed. I laughed because it was ridiculous.
It's pathetic. They were behind.
Right. Double digits behind. Instead, so they're spinning it. Okay, here we go with the spin, right, Tom? The spin it. It's unbelievable. And for those guys to take it seriously like that, and I'm not even saying, Tom, they're not even taking it seriously in a patriotic way. They don't mention that. It's just the ego. It's egocentric now.
Yeah, it's it's kind of laughable. I mean, you're giving applause and you're giving congratulations to your own failures that you had to get over. Well, we failed, we sucked, but we corrected the suck, so give us our applause.
Correct.
You know, you go to the mechanic and you tell the mechanic, you know, look, I got a transmission problem. They take your car apart. They give it back to you. The transmission's busted, and now there's an oil leak. Now you bring it back to him. He fixes both, and he goes, hey, see how I fixed that oil leak too? oh, should I pay you more for fixing the thing that you broke?
Basketball was always put on a pedestal, and when they started losing, Tom, they couldn't have that. We cannot have that. All these other sports in the Olympics, USA doesn't win every event, right? There's events they don't even medal in. But basketball, no, we can't have that. It's a joke.
How are we looking at a baseball lineup with for the Team USA? Henderson, Betts, Witt, Judge, Harper.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a Seager. pitching Skeen, Skubal, Cease. Yeah, Gerrit Cole. He'll probably be too old in 3 or 4 years. Yeah, I'm feeling good about it. Yeah, I was going to say Adley Rutschman, but we know Austin Wells is better, so I'm not going
to go. We can have room for both of them, right?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, you can't have a catcher every day.
I think with baseball, you probably get more of the players will be willing to play too, Tom. You know how a lot of them, they don't want to play in the World Baseball Classic. I think if you're putting it patriotically, even though it's supposed to be country patriotism, if it's the Olympics, it's a completely different feel. Then I think you'd have, basically, I think everybody would want to play, not like the WBC where you have legitimate superstars. It just, they won't do it.
Yeah, the World Baseball Classic is one of the dumbest ideas that baseball's ever had. It means nothing. No one cares. It's idiotic. The Olympics are something different.
They were playing games during spring training, Tom. If that means anything to you, you know, like, really?
Well, remember that? That's when I started to hate Carlos Correa. If you guys remember, we were on the air, and I know we got to take a break in a minute, but we were on the air for years, and I hyped up the Houston Astros farm system, how this kid Correa was being compared to A-Rod. And in the World Baseball Classic, when they won, he's from the Dominican Republic, I think, right? When they won the World Baseball Classic, they asked him, how does it feel? He said, this is better than winning any World Series ever. That's before they had won. And I was like, whoa, where are your priorities? Now, look at Carlos Correa and where his career's gone.
He's in Minnesota, right?
Yeah, I think he's still toiling away in Minnesota after multiple teams decided to not pay him.
Right. I believe the Giants rescinded the offer. Wasn't that what happened last year? They were gonna sign.
After the Mets did the same thing. Yeah. The Mets did the same thing.
Yep. Says a little something.
Maybe if you put your priorities toward winning a World Series without cheating first, somebody would have paid you then, Carlos.
Well, we're talking baseball. That means in hour number two, a lot more baseball coming up as we hit mid-August, about 5.5 or so weeks away from postseason time. We'll talk about it in hour two. It's Heatwave Sports here on a Saturday night, Fox Sports Radio, Las Vegas.
Are you ready?
Now back to Heatwave Sports.
All right, guys, back here at Heatwave Sports, hour number two. Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com here with Tim Unglesby at Heatwave Sports, at Tom Barton Sports. Get you a part of the show. And I do love the comments coming back. I know you guys are still still on the training camp conversation. A lot of you guys asking me, what are my thoughts about Dak Prescott? Look, he's not injured, right? I know CeeDee Lamb's not in camp. We've touched on Dak a little bit. There's no news to report, which I guess no news is good news out of Dallas, where you're looking at, I don't know. Can you say a make or break season here, Tim? Can you say that this is all in? I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. We've talked about it a little bit, and I'm kind of torn. I think that Jerry's going to let him go. I think it's smart to let him go, let somebody else pay for him. But I do think to Dallas fans, it's going to be tough to sell them on a total rebuild. And if Dak is gone, that means they have a bad year, which means McCarthy's most likely gone. So if you lose McCarthy and Dak, how do you not go with a full rebuild? And if you're doing a full rebuild, I mean, half of that team's going to be gone. Yeah, I got three questions tonight about Dak Prescott. So I did want to touch on it. We have talked about it. We're going to talk about baseball in this hour. But, Tim, I wanted to address that. What's your thoughts on Dallas? Look, I don't see them making the playoffs this year. I don't have them making the playoffs this year. I don't have them doing anything overly big this year, which means I think Dak's gone, and I think McCarthy might be gone too.
Yeah, I agree. The problem is CeeDee's not there because he wants to be paid, right, Tom? And Dak wants to be paid. Number one, can they afford both? I'm sure they could, but that's really going to handcuff them. So if you're going to let one or the other go, and I know in a quarterback league you'd say, Tim, you're crazy. Why are you going to let a quarterback go? I just don't think that they're going to get any further than where Dak Prescott's taken them. And maybe it's time for Jerry Jones. I think at least in his mind he thinks it's time to try somebody else out. But you give him the weapons, right? So the weapons are the receivers there, and it starts with CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, Lamb and Parsons. I think Dallas fans just have to brace for what's going to happen here, guys. You know, and that is the Dallas Cowboys are not going to be bad enough where, you know, you're sitting there and getting a top five pick. I don't even know if you're going to be bad enough to get a top 10 pick. I think that they compete. I think that they might be over 500. 9-8 sounds about right. Does it get you to the playoffs? Probably not. And I think you have to brace yourself for a new coach. I think you have to brace yourself for a new quarterback. And a lot of Dallas fans are probably saying, well, that's good. Problem is, when you start with a new coach and a new quarterback, that's a rebuild, guys. Look, I'm going through it right now. Not a new coach, but a new quarterback in Chicago. As great as Caleb Williams might be, you can't expect to win the Super Bowl in year one. You can't expect to win a Super Bowl in year two. you're hoping year three. So the Dallas Cowboys, if you sat down a Dallas Cowboy fan right now and said, the earliest you're going to win a Super Bowl is in 2028, I think that's going to be a hard sell for an aging Jerry Jones. How old is Jerry Jones now here, Tim? Jerry Jones is 81 years old. He's going to be 82 in October. So you think Jerry Jones is going to be happy that he's not going to get a championship till he's 86? And that's a maybe?
Yeah. But that being said, Tommy hasn't had a Super Bowl in, what, 30 years? It's been that long, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. 95, right? So.
And even the quarterbacks coming out, by the way, Carson Beck, you know, Dylan Gabriel, Quinn Ewers, Jalen Milroe, you know, Jalen Daniels out of Kansas, Shador Sanders. Do we think that any of them are walk into camp and put a team in the playoffs type? I don't think so. I don't think so.
What if Sanders ended up there with Sanders?
Oh, my God. Oh, Dallas fans. You know, I'm not a Dallas fan hater. But there's a lot of people that say, Dallas fans, that's what you deserve.
Could you imagine the reality show that would come out of that, though?
Well, Deion's a bad coach. He's a bad coach. And I'm not sure his son is a great football player either. So
right. I agree. But, the reality show, training camp with the Dallas Cowboys would take a whole new level with Sanders in tow.
How about Deion being the assistant to Nick Saban? Deion, Nick Saban, sponsored by Allstate or Geico, whatever.
Yep.
Right? Sponsored by Geico with Sanders as the quarterback. Things can get real interesting down in Dallas. And I think they will. I mean, once Dak is gone, are we really going with the idea that Trey Lance is just suddenly going to turn the corner? I don't think so, but guess what? I think Trey Lance in 365 days from now is being talked about as the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys.
What? And not to veer completely off the subject, but I know when Trey Lance came out, Tom, you were a big fan of his. What happened here? Mental?
No, look, when I liked Trey Lance, and I really did, it was coming off of his just absolutely spectacular season where he just didn't make mistakes. I mean, he just flat out did not make mistakes. I think the guy, I'm trying to bring up, you know, the statistics here where he just didn't have any interceptions. He was phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal in his what was a regular season freshman year, 2019. And I'm bringing it up here. This is why I liked him, because I watched him. He started all 16 games. Okay. They went 16-0 that year. He was absolutely phenomenal. He led the FCS in passing efficiency, yards per pass, fourth in responsible touchdowns, fifth in completion percentage, 10th in rushing yards. He set NCAA all division records for most passing yards in a season without an interception. That's the key. Without an interception. Did not make mistakes. Okay. 2020-21 came. He played one game. Right? Because of COVID, because of injury, because of all kinds of problems. And that's it. And that's all he had. You know, you watch him as a freshman, Tim, and I thought he was going to develop. I thought, you know what? South Dakota State kid isn't going to come out early. And I'm going, he's going to get 4 years. So if he 287 straight passes without an interception, if he's this perfect, he's going to get the 2020 year, 2021 year. Maybe it comes out a year early, but 3 years of dynamic quarterback play. This should be fantastic. He didn't get those years, Tim. So he never developed. So it's not that he's from a small school. He just didn't play. He didn't get reps. He didn't develop. And now he's drafted, and 2 years later, he still hasn't played. I mean, this guy hasn't played a full season in 5 years. I don't care who you are. You could be Patrick Mahomes. You sit Patrick Mahomes down for 5 years, he's going to be a guy that you're questioning if he could play in this league. And that's where I am at with Trey Lance. I still think that they have something there with maybe the right coaching staff, maybe could get something out of him. But basically, the guy just didn't play for 5 years.
Yeah. Dallas is always going to be a mainstream story, so it's something to keep an eye on. I mean, we're what, 30 days away, less than 30 days away, and your number one receiver is not even in camp. That's a big problem if it doesn't get solved here within the next 7 days, Tom.
Yeah, well, Tim, you had them last year going to the Super Bowl, and they have a lot of those pieces back. I mean, they do. But without CeeDee Lamb, there's no prayer. There's no prayer. You know, it's gotten so bad, and we keep going back to fantasy. It's gotten so bad, Tim, that if you're sitting there and you're thinking about taking CeeDee Lamb number one as the number one wide receiver, which a lot of people are, which means you're thinking about taking CeeDee Lamb number one overall, I think you got to rethink this thing. Because we are, like you said, we are 20-some-odd days away in a disgruntled quarterback situation. Dallas, who knows what's going to happen with that coaching staff. CeeDee Lamb won't be on many of my teams. And he can burn me, and that's fine. But I will take a Tyreek Hill over him. I will take a Chase over him. I'll take we talked about JJ. I'll take a JJ over him.
Well, I'll tell you what, Tom. Dallas is not my NFC representative in the Super Bowl this year. And if you tune in on Sunday night, let me just make sure I don't want to be wrong.
25th.
Sunday night the 25th, right. Sunday night the 25th for our NFL preview show. You'll hear who will be playing in the Super Bowl by my account, and Dallas will not be in that. So make sure you tune in on the 25th at 10 o'clock for the HeatWave Sports NFL season preview show. Tom, let's take the time out, come back, jump into the baseball. Here on a nice Saturday night in Las Vegas, it's HeatWave Sports, Fox Sports Radio. Time to talk some baseball here on HeatWave Sports. Tim Unglesby, Tom Barton. Tommy, we are about 120 in. So 40-ish games left, and very few for sures. Let's put it that way, Tom. Very few for sures that are in the playoffs. So wide open right now with 40 games to go.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you have a couple of teams where you go, yeah, I think they're going to be fine. And then you go, maybe not, right? The elites of the league have been dragging their butts across the finish line here. I mean, the elites of the elite. Here you go. I got one for you here, Tim. The Yankees, Orioles, Guardians, Dodgers, and Phillies over the last 40 games, they're all under 500.
Yeah.
That's insane.
How about this one? Up until today, in the last 50 games, the Angels had the same record as the Dodgers.
Doesn't it feel like San Diego is just going to steal that division?
Yeah. They've won 7 in a row. They've won 9 of 10. And they're getting their reinforcements back. Like, the trades... As much as, for instance, we said that they had overpaid for Adam, right? It was a great trade, though. It's worked out perfect for them. They're getting two pitchers back here relatively soon as well. The Dodgers are not, Tom. That's something that we have to look at. And you want to go back a year's time. This was the Dodgers' problem heading into the playoffs last year, was they had no pitching left.
Tim, is there a world where the Dodgers finish in third place?
Probably not.
Arizona's
very
only
well.
3.5 back.
Yeah, no, they're on fire, too. They won 8 of 10. And they're playing like they did last year at the end of the season. I don't think so, but yes, it could happen in this world for sure.
Is there a world where the Dodgers miss the playoffs?
Probably not, but yes, it could happen. I think the problem is that when you look at the Central, barring just an amazing run by somebody, I think that's only a one bid, one division, one team out of that division. I think you can get three out of the West and the East, and you know that's the problem for the Central. I as much as the Cardinals had started to play, Tom, like we thought they would, it kind of seems like now they're regressing back again. And you know, you're literally a blink of an eye away from Milwaukee running away with this.
Tim, don't look now, but the Chicago Cubs have won four games in a row. They're a game under 500. The New York Mets are in a virtual tie with the Atlanta Braves. The New York Mets are getting back into this thing. Are you buying either one of these teams? The Mets are. Look, I think it's more to do with the Atlanta futility, but the Mets are right now fighting for a playoff spot. The Cubs are, I know it seems crazy, are not completely dead out of this thing. The San Francisco Giants are not out of this thing. Who's the team that you're believing in? I'm not believing in the Mets. I don't think I'm believing in San Francisco, although it's hard not to. It's just that division's so tough.
Right. And the problem is you get three teams as wild cards, right, Tom? So if the season ended today, you'd have three out of the National League West and then one spot left for Atlanta, New York, San Francisco, St. Louis, Chicago, however you want to put it. I mean, you can go down as far as Pittsburgh's only five out of the last wild card spot. I think that's Atlanta's and Arizona and San Diego. I think that's going to be what it's
going to end up. San Francisco and the Mets have the same amount of wins as Atlanta right now.
Yes. Yes. But
Atlanta
I think
is struggling.
They are, but I think they find a way to pull through this. The Mets, look, we've laughed about it. You know, they went on the Grimace run and were playing great baseball, but look, they went to the left coast and they've not done well on this West Coast road trip, and it's actually put them back. You know, they were actually in a wild card spot just 6 days ago. So Frisco, I don't believe in, even though they're hitting the ball way better. But look, they just sent their closer down, right, Tom? There's problems there. St. Louis is the one I thought would steamroll their way into the third spot there. But like I said, they don't look good. And the Cubs are too inconsistent. So I'm going to go with Atlanta, even though that they're hanging on. That Band-Aid is hanging on right now.
Do you want to see the heartbreak that will be the New York Mets season coming up? Because it's the Mets. So right now, the Mets are in a virtual tie for Atlanta. Man, Met fans, I'm just going to give you the scenario. They win tomorrow night. The Braves lose. Oh, here we go. Mets are in second place. They get seven games at home against the Marlins and A's. The New York Mets, here they come. Then, Tim, they have seven games against the Orioles and Padres, and then three against the Diamondbacks. At Arizona, at San Diego. So let's say you get by that. You got the Red Sox, the Reds, the White Sox, the Blue Jays. You're hanging in there, right, Tim? You're hanging in there. Here's the end of their schedule. Four against Philly, three at Atlanta, three at Milwaukee. Met fans, your season's over. But they will be screaming that there's hope over the next 7 days because they have seven against the Marlins and Oakland. The New York Mets, we could be sitting here very, 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 very seriously sitting here a week from now and saying, wow, the Mets have leapfrogged over Atlanta. The Mets have leapfrogged over San Francisco. The Mets are leapfrogged over St. Louis and Chicago. And that's a firmly in a playoff spot before the bottom falls out on New York Mets fans.
Tommy, they haven't even scored a run the last two games.
Yeah, and they're still in it.
Still in it.
Tim, what about the Giants? Because I think the Giants are a dangerous playoff team when you're talking about having to go up against Snell, you know, at what he's doing, and Webb, what we've seen him do. They just sent down Camilo Doval. They sent him down to the minors. Yeah. They don't even have a closer right now. But their schedule, here we go, Tim. They got four at home they got one more against the Tigers tomorrow. They go four at home against the struggling Braves. Great spot to get them. Then they go to Oakland against the White Sox to the Mariners. Anything but daunting, right? they close off their end of the year. They have the Diamondbacks and Cardinals. Not the easiest schedule, but I think that San Francisco's going to get a little bump up here as well.
The thing about San Francisco is that they got healthy at the right time. And nobody's talking about the Giants, right? You said the Dodgers and the Padres and Diamondbacks. But the Giants are there. They've won, what, 6 out of 7? And albeit they're beating the competition they should beat. We always talk about if you have soft spots in the schedule, you need to do well in those spots. Just in the last 2 weeks, they played the Rockies and the A's and the Reds and the Nationals and the Tigers now. And they've only lost 3 games since the 26th of July, Tom. You know, there's something like 14-3 since then. So Snell, playoff proven, right? Experience. He's healthy. Logan Webb has basically carried this team through most of the season as the number one. And now Robbie Ray's back, Tom. I don't know if you want to play them in the playoffs.
No, not with that 1-2. And Dodger fans, let's give the Dodgers something to look forward to. So you got the Pirates tomorrow. You get 4 against Milwaukee in Milwaukee, very tough. 3 against St. Louis in St. Louis. There you go, Mariners, Rays, Orioles, D-backs, just a brutal schedule, right? But at the end of their schedule, Tim, here's from September 17th on. You want a absolute joke of a finish? From September 17th on. 3 against the Marlins, 3 against the Rockies, 3 against the Padres, 3 against the Rockies. They get to play 9 of their last 12 games against the Rockies and Marlins.
It's definitely in their favor. Here's the problem that I see with the Dodgers. Bobby Miller, Rivas, Glass now. Where else are we going here, Tom?
River Ryan to save the day.
River Ryan. Now, Kershaw's back. He looks in a couple weeks. Well, I mean, we'll see how he looks now. He looked better last start, right? So, supposedly Walker Buehler's on the way back. He's in rehab. So their arms coming back. But when Buehler did come back, originally he was terrible. So the long term, I mean, hopefully that's not something that's going to bite them. But I just don't understand when the deadline came and went, how. Again, we talked about our teams, Orioles and the Yankees, and maybe we weren't so satisfied with what they ended up with. But if you're a Dodger fan, can you be satisfied with what they did? Where did they improve that rotation?
Absolutely not.
No.
No. I think Glasnow is kind of one of the keys, too, where I thought, you know, when they got him, everybody went, he's crazy. I said, how many starts is he going to get?
Yeah.
You know, how many starts is he going to get? I think that was always a concern for just about everybody. And since we are doing the schedules here, guys, Philly, I'm not going to go over. But Atlanta, you know, you look at their schedule, they have a lot against head-to-head against Philly. But their end-of-the-year schedule, 3 against the Marlins, 3 against the Mets, 3 against the Royals. So I don't know. I think we're so used to seeing Atlanta's name up there, we're already just writing them in. But I do think it's time to be concerned about the Braves. Not that I feel comfortable with the Mets passing them or the Cardinals or even the Cubs, but I think that San Diego, Arizona, and San Francisco threesome there, I'm terrified of all of them. What about this, Tim? By the way, since we're let's talk a little bit about betting. You could get the Padres right now at 20-1 to win it all. Does it tempt you a little?
Sure. Sure it does. Especially if you get Musgrove and Darvish back, and it, you know that again. We're talking deep postseason runs. You need to have. You can't throw a 4 or 5 out there and hope that they get you there. I mean, I guess some teams have to, but yeah, I bite a little bit on 20-1, and really, you know, just to close on the Braves, Tom. The only reason I put them ahead, and the injuries have to work our way, which. You never know, but I'm okay going into the playoffs with Fried, Sale, and Morton. I'm okay with that. So I think if those guys are healthy in the stretch, that's enough to get them through to the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it get them there. Right. So the last question in the National League I have for you. Who's your MVP, Tim? Because everybody's saying it's Ohtani right away, right? I think Ketel Marte might catch him. Ohtani batting 335 home runs, 83 RBIs. Marte 299, 30 home runs, 81 RBIs. It's a lot closer than I think people are giving him credit for. Marte, if he gets Arizona in first place, if Arizona can finish in first place or ahead of the Dodgers, we'll say if Arizona finishes ahead of the Dodgers with all they did and all they have, just the massive amount of riches, if they don't win the division and Arizona wins the division, you can't give it to Ohtani if the stats are this close. You have to give it to Marte. I think that Marte as the MVP is a very slept-on notion right now.
I don't think he wins it. I think even if he deserved it, he'd get screwed if it's this close. We're going back to just the way it is, right, Tom? And for me, it's between Ohtani and Ozuna. Marte is not even a thought, even though he's right there, just because of name value. Ozuna.
Neither
probably,
one of them play
Tom,
the field, Tim. Neither one of them play the field.
I know. But that doesn't factor into it. We already know that. We've seen that happen. We've seen that
it
happen
should.
Before. It just doesn't factor. Hey, man, preach to the choir. But I'm just telling you, if anything, Ozuna, in my mind, should be first, then Ohtani, then Marte. And if it's – they're all right, 1, 2, 3, right there. Marte is just a guy that – nobody knows about, therefore he's not going to get the votes. We've seen it happen before.
Marcelo Ozuna is a part-time player. Shohei Ohtani is a part-time player. Give it to Ketel Marte, the guy that actually contributes on both sides of the ball.
Are you betting on that?
No.
Because you know, as much as you're right, you know how it works.
Oh, I get it. I get it. It's something I want to yell and scream about. The DH should never win an MVP. Ever, 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 ever. Just like Ohtani should never have won an MVP. He's only out there for 30 days, 30 games. I don't care that he's a pitcher. Should never win an MVP if you're not out there playing the field. Be the best hitter. Get the Hank Aaron Award, right? Best hitter in the league. That's fine. But not, absolutely not the MVP. And you're right. Ozuna is actually having a better year than Ohtani.
It's going to come down to this, Tom. End of the year, regardless of how close it is, Ohtani is going to be over 300. He's going to have close to 50 home runs. He's going to be over 100 RBIs, and he's going to have 40 steals. They've already decided they're giving it to him. He's going to win another one.
Yeah, and it's already getting going to Judge. I don't care this Bobby Witt conversation. No. Sorry. It's not close. 41 home runs to 22. Judge is almost doubling him up. If Judge's season ended right now, he should get the MVP. 323, 41, and 105. That's MVP numbers right there. 1.147 whip. OPS. Are we kidding? Judge and Ohtani, MVPs. All right.
Yeah.
Best player in the sport, Aaron Judge. Second best player, Ohtani. I'm okay with that. And that's how it's been since they entered the league.
AL, this shouldn't even be a discussion.
No, it should not. Yeah.
Other than hits, what's Bobby Witt have on Judge? He has nothing, right?
He's got the batting average. He's got a .343 batting average. Judge has a .323.
Right.
He's
got 30 more hits than him, but he's got 20 less homers and 20 less ribbies.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, but his team is in third place.
Yeah.
You know, I could see the push if the Royals win. Let's go to the American League here, Tim. Let's stay there. Let's stay with the Central. Do the Guardians have enough? We seem to ask this every single week, and we seem to ask this for year after year. Do the Guardians have enough? All of a sudden, Minnesota's only 2.5 back. Kansas City's only 3.5 back. Cleveland, they're 3-7 their last 10. While Minnesota and Kansas City are streaking in the right direction, I never believe in Cleveland. I say it year after year. I don't know. I thought they were going to be able to hold on. Kansas Kansas City's bullpen is just such a disaster that I can't see Kansas City doing anything unless MacArthur and Harvey figure something out in the back end, and Harvey just went down. Cleveland has the back end relievers. They have a tremendous bullpen. Their hitting is their issue. In Minnesota, they're all up and down. I still think Cleveland holds on, but, man, it could go any way. And we're talking about a three-game series that could go any way.
I think they hold on as well. But August is going to be a big test for them. Look, they need to win tomorrow to split this series with the Twins, right? A loss and all of a sudden it's a game-and-a-half deficit. Then they play the Cubs, which you just said they're on a mini run. Then they get the Brewers, who are in first in the Central. Then they get the Yankees. Then the Rangers. And then back for four games to end the month with Kansas City in their own division, who's hanging around. I think they hang on, Tom, but if they go into an extended losing streak here, they might lose themselves right out of the playoffs.
Yeah, it's one of those spots where you look at Cleveland and Minnesota. Cleveland plays Kansas City seven times more this year. They play Minnesota six times more this year. It's going to be decided within in the division. It's going to be the head-to-head that's going to do it. You're right.
Look at their schedule to end the year. Four with Minnesota that at home, but four with Minnesota. That right there could decide the division, that series. At St. Louis, who, again, depending on how they're playing, right, Tom? A two little breaker versus Cincinnati, and then you get the Astros to end the season in a three-game series for a team that's probably en route to the playoffs as well. It could definitely fall apart for Cleveland, but every time we think that, Tom, like you said, they're there. They're just there. They win.
How about the Royals? You know, I said I can't buy into their bullpen, but you want to look at their schedule, you know, at the end of the year. They do get – look, they get some tough ones. They get the Giants, but they get them at home, and they get Atlanta 3 on the road at the end, which stinks. But their September is fantastic if you're a team chasing. Three at home against the Guardians, who they'll likely be chasing. Three at home against the Twins, they'll likely be chasing. Then they get the Yankees. All right, that's tough. They get the Pirates and Tigers in 6. They also have the Nationals in there. The Royals, schedule-wise, they have the advantage over Minnesota and Cleveland.
It's the easiest for sure. And you also have those matchups against, like you said, they play 7 times with the Guardians. So basically the fate's in their own hands, right, Tom? If they can win those series and then and beat the teams they should beat,
and they're at
the
home.
Lower echelon. Yes. I don't see why they can't sneak through. That's the thing. If they handle business, they're going to be there. The problem with the Royals for me, as fun as they are to watch, I just don't see it, man.
When you look at that lineup. Bad.
Even the lineup.
The bullpen is bad, too. Come on. I mean, James MacArthur is the best in the bullpen, which is saying something. I mean, the guy, you know, he's the best there. Harvey fell apart when he came over. Schneider looks bad. Will Smith is terrible. I mean, you know, even John McMillan, who they had last year, and they said, oh, he's going to be closer in the future. He has like a 6.7 ERA in the minors. There's no help on the way, and they got to get creative here. I saw they put Chris Bubik in to save a game or try to save a game this week. They're doing anything they can because they know, you know what, we have starting pitching. Our hitting is starting to come around. We got 3 or 4 guys that can hit the ball, at least. We just need some bullpen. They cannot find it.
And we're vouching for a team just to make the playoffs, though. We already know that there's no further than the first round, right?
No, they're all going to get annihilated.
Yeah. Look at the Royals lineup. Look at their batting order and look at that lineup. They win games, but it's a head scratcher to me. What really, other than Witt, what are we looking at in that lineup?
Well, Perez is pretty good, but yeah.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, Witt, Perez, even, you know what? Mikel Garcia is fine. Pasquantino's fine. Then you have Melendez, who's batting a robust 203. You know, a Garrett Hampson, a Kyle Isbell in his 228 average. Yeah, I mean, it gets rough. But unless Paul DeJong is really scaring you, I think we're...
That was a big trade deadline pickup there, Paul DeJong.
And he was, because look at the lineup. He walked into that clubhouse and he was like the third best hitter on the team.
Yeah. Yeah. The story is the starters, right? And it has been all year that Cole Ragans took a step up. Seth Lugo, I still can't believe, Tom. Still can't
believe. No.
Know what he's doing. Where there's no value on him anymore, but still. And then it's just, you know, Michael Walker.
Singers,
right?
Look good.
Yeah. That's been their strength, but I don't know. Just watch them win 6 of 7 against the Guardians in the 2 series, Tom. You know what I mean? That's just the Central. It's just a cluster.
Yeah, it's a mess. What about the West? Let's pop over to the West.
Actually, can I say one thing about the Central real quick? This was kind of bothering me, and I know it has nothing to do with the playoffs, but it really, if you're a fan of a major league franchise in baseball, and I'm gonna name it out, right? So you're a fan of the White Sox, right, Tom? And I'm not sure the end goal here for ownership and front office is when you look at, even at the beginning of the season, that stadium was butt naked empty. They have 28 wins. They're going to hit 100 losses here in about a week. And now you fire their manager? Really? Why? My whole thing is why. And I'm not taking anything away from Grady Sizemore, who got the job. I hope actually he can do something and maybe keep that job, because I like Grady. But why would you fire the manager at this point? Why does it matter, Tom? Is this just another inept decision from that organization? Why is Luis Robert still playing as a White Sox? Another stupid decision from ownership in Chicago. It really burned my ass when they fired him, because there's no point. Why not wait till the end of the season? Why would you embarrass the man at this point?
Because of the 1962 Mets. The White Sox right now are on pace to lose 123 games. 121 is the record. The White Sox don't want the record. I mean, that's honestly it. They're already going to set the franchise record, which is 106 losses. That was set in 1970. They're definitely going to set that.
Yeah.
But this is to avoid being the worst team in the history of baseball. They don't want to hold that. Now, the Luis Robert thing is just idiocy. The Garrett Crochet, why is he still on the team? But the fact of firing him, I guess they didn't want to fire him during the losing streak. You know, get the guy, you know, his one win, then you let him go. But they don't want to go down as the worst team in the history of baseball. And that right now is where they're at. They're going to have to play 330 baseball to not have that happen. And they've played 240 baseball up until this point.
But Grady Sizemore has no Major League Baseball experience as a manager. What makes them think that that's going to change the tide? It's not like they brought Buck Showalter in to finish the season.
It's ridiculous, yeah. The fact that it was Grady Sizemore, who I liked as a player.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that it's Grady Sizemore to sort of take the fall is just, I mean, it's a slap in the face to fans to buy into this. Oh, cool, Grady Sizemore. What has he done, guys? Yeah, right. You know, what has he done? And if he does a great job, you think they're keeping him long term? Come on.
I wasn't a fan of the hiring originally, not Sizemore, the manager, I forget his name, before they fired him. I wasn't a fan of that when they hired him, but I always thought of it as maybe he was a not a stepping stone, Tom, but a gap filler until they brought in, you know, if they could get the team under control better, put some more prospects in the system, slowly build back up, and then you bring in a bigger name. But they didn't even let this guy do that. And I don't blame – he may be the most terrible manager ever, but I don't blame him for this. Everybody has to take responsibility. But, of course, ownership's not going to. And the front office is not going to, Tom. It's the manager's fault.
Well, I look at this a lot like, obviously in a completely different way, but I look at this a lot like the Aaron Boone situation with Brian Cashman from my Yankees. Everybody wants Boone fired because it's the easy thing to do when he's only dealing with the chips that you're giving him. You know, Griffol only had what the White Sox gave him, which was just a misconstructed, inept, ridiculously bad roster. They went very heavy on the international signings, and none of them panned out. From Makata to Eloy Jimenez, they went completely crazy on their international guys. They brought them up from the minor leagues when they weren't ready, and not one of them have panned out. Then what they did was they rested on their laurels for guys that were fringe profits, a Gavin Sheets, a Vaughn. Good players, Andrew Vaughn and Gavin Sheets, but they're complementary players. They're not, you know, ace type, number one type of guys that you throw in the 3 or 4 spot, and that's what they're dealing with. Garrett Crochet works out well. That's great. What about the White Sox that were let go? What about all the White Sox that were traded away? It, you know, you go in on Moncada, Roberts, Eloy Jimenez as your core, and not one of them work out. That's not the manager's fault.
Yeah. What is your, and I hate this, this has become a White Sox topic, but Luis Robert Jr., let's talk about him, right? He seems like all the talent in the world when he's hitting. But he's coming up on 28 years of age, Tom. He's not that prospect anymore. The guy's batting under 200 right now. He struck out 4 times today. He has 12 home runs and 26 RBIs. Maybe that's why he didn't get traded.
I would say that they still look at him as this elite player that, oh my goodness, do you know what he can be? Do you have any idea what the upside is? And teams are going, well, I have an idea of what he really is. You know, I sort of know what he can be. I mean, me and you were in dynasty baseball and football leagues together, you know, and you always have that guy going, well, you know what his upside is? Yeah, but I know what he has done. It's not like Robert doesn't have a track record at this point. I know right. what he's done. I know how long he's been in the league. And what I've watched is he's now been in the league for 5 years. For 5 years, we have had really one good season. And that's it. And that was in 68 games played. Everything else says he's an under mediocre hitter. He's a high strikeout, low walk, low average, just project. And like you said, he's not a kid anymore. You know, if he was 24, you take a shot on it. He's not 24 years old anymore. He's going to be 28. It's a problem.
0 for 5 today with 4 strikeouts. This is his worst season so far as a major leaguer, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And you do have to worry about, you know, again, when you put those guys together, an Eloy, a Moncada, a Robert, and that's the culture, and they all start to kind of stink it up at the same time, you wonder who's the guy that's going to lift them up? Who's the guy that's going to tell them, hey, look, you know, these things happen, guys. Who's the veteran presence in that locker room? I don't think they have one.
Let's go to the West, Tom. What are we looking at here, man? Are the Rangers going to make the comeback?
I keep thinking that they are, but I think I'm off the Rangers. I keep thinking that they're going to do it, that they're going to, you know, make this run because Houston's leaving the door open. Seattle, they can't hit at all. They're leaving the door open. Before the year, I picked Seattle. I don't think that they could do this without Julio Rodriguez.
Yeah.
And right now, Seattle just doesn't have the offense. And Randy or Rosarena was just not the answer. I think Houston winds up taking this by default. To me, Houston will win this division with the least amount of wins in all of baseball to win their division. They'll be lower than the Central in both the AL and NL. Houston will win this division with, you know, like 83, 84 wins or something like that.
I picked Houston to win the division in our preview show strictly based on, and I said, in fact, we have the tape somewhere. It was to the extent of, I think they take a step back, but they still win the division because I don't have the faith in the Mariners. And it wasn't from a pitching standpoint, Tom. It was what we've talked about all season was an offensive standpoint. And that's come true. And here's the big and is, I know he's hurt, but I didn't expect Julio Rodriguez to be this bad, Tommy, this year. He's just not the guy that we saw last year for sure.
No, he's not. I mean, you could say sophomore slump or whatever it is, but the lineup is just woefully bad, Tim. I mean, it is just and when you know that you don't have anybody on base and you know you don't have anybody protecting you behind you and you know all those things, it's going to change your game. I think Julio Rodriguez is a product of Seattle just not putting people around him. You look at Cal Raleigh. Okay, he's going to hit 30, 35 home runs this year. He's going to get 100 RBIs from the catcher's position. you don't want that out of the catcher. I mean, it's great to have as a secondary. You don't want your catcher being your main offensive threat because he's not going to play every day. Seattle has nobody else. I'm stunned that the Mariners are just so inept at what they're doing. You have a guy like Locklear they brought up twice this year. He's crushing it in AAA. You don't want to at least give this guy a shot? No, you're rolling out J.P. France and, I mean, you know, idiots like this. I mean, come on. Come on. What are we doing? But the Mariners are somehow in first place. Why? Because they pitch really well. They have a really good bullpen. They just can't hit their way out of a paper bag.
And what does the schedule makers say, Tom, when you look at the upcoming month? It for Houston has a tough road ahead of them. And maybe Seattle can sneak in here. Just coming up in the next week, Houston plays Boston, Baltimore, Philadelphia, Kansas City. That's four series in a row right there. Things can change dramatically in a 16-game set right there.
Yeah, the tough series for right now for Seattle is going to be that middle of September. They get Padres, Texas, Yankees, Texas, Astros. But they do end off three against the A's, and they do start off the month four against the A's after three against the Angels. So they have 10 games basically at the buffer at the end of August, early September against the Angels and A's. Those are the teams you have to win eight of those 10. I mean, there's just no way around it. If you want this division, you got to win eight of those 10. I don't know if they can.
Astros close the season with three home against Seattle, three on the road at Cleveland. By the time that Seattle series happens in the end of it, September, it could be already over, though, Tom, for the Mariners. I think that's
just got, if I'm the Mariners, that. I'm saying just got to keep it close. Just keep this thing close.
Well, I guess that takes us to the East then, Tom. East to close the show tonight. Yankees, Baltimore, Boston. That's three left. Only two are going to make it, right, Tom? Only two.
Tim, multiple times this week, we've both said that Baltimore and the Yankees suck. We can't believe how bad they are. They have the most wins in baseball.
Yes.
Right?
And have won 6 of 10. Both teams have won 6 of 10 now.
Both teams have won 6 of 10, and we hate them, and they're terrible. What are they doing to us? The Yankees' problems are just pronounced, but the Yankees, here's the thing, have a lot of help coming. Clark Schmidt's on the way. Scott Efros is on the way. Ian Hamilton's coming back. We just got Stanton back. Eventually, Jason Dominguez is going to come on. The Yankees feel like they have plenty of help on the way. Trevino is going to come back. They have a lot. I don't know if the Orioles have any of that help unless they start digging into their minor league system, which is very, very good for them to dig into. I think Baltimore and the Yankees are set for the playoffs. They're going to be okay for the playoffs. It's just a jostling who takes the number one slot.
Yeah. I read a story. It wasn't a story. Somebody said it on a MLB network. Mark my words, Boston's making the playoffs. I just don't see it. I don't see it. And the last 6 weeks, they played well. I just don't see it. I think they run out of time. And
the problem with Boston is their young arms are going to have to sit down. They're not going to pitch Bello and Houck 180 innings.
Right, right. Or Cutter Crawford, right? You're not depending on these guys at this point. And I don't think Baltimore or the Yankees are going to go into an extended losing streak like that. They may frustrate us at times, Tom, where we're cursing at the television because they're losing to teams they shouldn't lose to. But again, they both sucked this week, yet they ended up the week on a positive. So I don't see that being an issue, them making the playoffs. I'm sold that they're both in. The problem with the Orioles, since you brought up the Yankees issues, the problem with the Orioles is the reverse of what the Yankees went through most of the season was injuries. Your guys are coming back. I don't know what's going to happen with the Orioles here, right? Supposedly, Grayson Rodriguez is going to be ready for the stretch. Supposedly, Jordan Westberg is going to be back soon. Supposedly, Kerstad is going to be back as well. But I don't have faith in that, right? You just never know. And the bullpen, the one thing that we outlined, you and I both on this show many times have outlined, what are we going to do with the bullpen? it's cost us games so far. Even the guys they brought in. So Dominguez got the save today. Soto blew a save the other day. I haven't seen Krimbrel in a week and a half. Cano blew a save. That was never resolved, Tom. So we can make the playoffs. But in the playoffs, I don't know what to do at that point.
It's basically Burns and hope for the best, right?
Burns, give me seven, and then we'll see what happens, right? Rodriguez, give me seven, and we'll see what happens. I don't even know who's left for pitching after that. Well, Zach Eflin's 3-0 since it's a trade, so he's looked all right, which I thought he would, Tom. I thought he would do well in that situation in Baltimore. I was very happy with that decision, even though it wasn't Snell or it wasn't Crochet or guys like that. I think Baltimore won with the Eflin trade so far.
Yeah, he looks good, and he's a solid number three. Look, I'd like to have him right now because I have no confidence in Nestor Cortes or Marcus Stroman for the Yankees. Thankfully, Clark Schmidt's coming back, and before he went down, he had a 2.52 ERA, having the best year of his career. So, I mean, that could be the saving grace for the Yankees because they are getting reinforcements. I know everybody always talks about reinforcements, but the Yankees are actually getting them.
Who pitched the second game of the doubleheader today for the Yankees?
Rodon? No, Cole did.
Who's the one that got lit up today?
I think Cole.
Oh, okay.
Tim, the Red Sox have the easiest schedule in baseball from this point forward.
Well, hopefully they
don't. Yeah, Cole pitched five innings today, only gave up one run, but Weaver and Tonkin came in, gave up eight runs.
Yeah, okay. I hadn't seen the box. I just saw the score, and I was like, wow. Cole looks like...
Yeah, they have no closer either, so...
So basically, Cole will get us to the seventh or eighth, and we'll figure it out, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be a fun, 6 weeks, that's for sure, to get there. And I'm sure as week goes on, Tom, we'll be able to start eliminating teams, but then I think to myself, maybe not. A lot of these are just teams that just, they win four, they lose three. They win five, they lose four. They win two, they lose three. And see what you have here is you have 20 teams still basically eligible to qualify for postseason play.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We're getting into a point where teams that are firmly in the playoff race right now, we're going to be laughing about in 30 days. Like, oh, wait, we actually believed in that team?
Well, we believe that we'll be back on air tomorrow night for the Super Sunday Night edition of Heat Wave Sports at 10 o'clock right here on Fox Sports Radio Las Vegas. Tom, let everybody know about Tom Barton Sports.
All right, guys, it's TomBartonSports.com. Go check it out. Listen, I am actually, I went 2-0 today. I'm on another heater. And I tell you when I'm on my heaters. 2-0 today, won 8 of the last 11 games. Absolutely crushing. I have my baseball play up and ready for tomorrow. It's a total... Jump on board, guys. It is TomBartonSports.com. You guys jump on board right now. I'm going to give you the rest of August, the first 2 weeks of the NFL season, all of it at TomBartonSports.com.
All right, Tommy. Good luck tomorrow. We'll talk to you tomorrow night.
Have a good one, everybody.
For Tom Barton over at TomBartonSports.com, please go check out the website. For Mateo, I'm Tim Unglesby. Let's have a great sports Sunday. Back at it. 10 p.m. tomorrow night right here, Fox Sports Radio Las Vegas, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Good night.